I'm here with Francis O'Donoghue, and we're just on the border between Dublin and Wicklow, yeah. And what's the name of the place?
This is Red Hill, Tynwald, actually, it's Tynwald.
How did they get the name Red Hill, you know,
Well,
Red
how
Hill?
it got Red Hill when I married and came here, there was nothing but red ferns and firs up on the hill, and it was always called Tynwald. But I gave it the distinction of when I looked up and said, isn't that a red hill? Now, when I started to write home or write to people, I put Red Hill on it. That's how it got its name. That's now a long time, that's since 1951.
And
And it now Tynwald starts. Tynwald now is from, I think, about from, I'd say from, would it be from Phibsis down here now to the border where we're down here in Sandybanks? That is Wicklow, and then Dublin takes over. Now, on the top of our hill, we have the three county corner. We have Kildare, Wicklow, and Dublin.
on your land.
On my land, yes.
My goodness,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's very good. There's a stone, and the stone is there, and that says one is Wicklow, Kildare is on the other, on the top, and then Dublin is the other side.
No, you married an O'Donoghue, but
Yes,
what was your own maiden name?
my own name was Francis Clark.
Or where were the
I
Clarks then?
came from Hurstpass town in Ballymore Eustace. Now, I only lived a quarter of a mile from Purrafooka. I lived in a little house there, right on the side of the road as you go down to Ballymore, where you take the turn for Ballymore Eustace.
Well, tell me about Pulafuca, so.
Purrafooka now. Well, see, I'm going back now to my granny's time. I remember the tram passed our door. Now, you could put out your hand. You see, they had to put up a gate to stop me. I lived with the granny, and they had to put up this gate because my hand, if I put it out, I could see the tram going by. I can't understand why they put their tram line so near a house.
Yeah.
And
That was the old steam tram,
that was
though.
the old steam tram.
Yeah.
And that went on to Purrafooka. And my granny told me that it was Moors was in Purrafooka that time. And I think down in Purrafooka, that's the hotel. Moors lived down there. But when you, where the tram stopped was, I don't know who was in at that time, but Labrys was in it when I knew them. And that was the ticket office.
And
That's where
tell
they got their
me, you
tickets.
were born there in 1923.
Three, yeah.
Tell me about your young days growing up there.
My young days going, well, now, well, you see, my uncle was a postman, and my granny, of course, was old, and
Did you grow up with your annie?
grew up with
Your
my
granny
granny, yes, I
brought you
grew
up, yeah.
up, and my mother only lived up the road from her, about a half a mile up the road. But my granny, I stayed with my granny and my uncle, and well, we had a bit of a farm anyway, and sure, I worked away on the farm, and then my uncle gave up the post job and he took on the National Health Insurance. And I helped him in that then. Along with doing the farming, he used to go to Ballinochen and Ballymount and everywhere where to give them their money, you know, when they were.
Why were you reared with your granny
Why
then?
was I reared now? Why was I reared with Granny? Well, how that was, and my mammy, like when my sister came along, my granny wanted me, you see, and that's how I came to be there. And then I had my sister, two sisters, and two brothers. There was five of us. And actually, my daddy died and I only seven. I'm honestly 31. I was born in 27 years of age, seven or eight.
Yeah, and so your mother must have found it very
Oh,
difficult
she
then
did at
to.
that time now. At that time, she did find it difficult, which I often go back and say. You see, at that time, they always kept a couple of pigs and fowl, you know. And when she looked for the widow's pension at that time, or whatever pension it was, the man that had him, he was a ploughman in Osbourne's Inn. They were the quarry people of Ballinochen, Osbourne and Brady. And of course, when she went to draw the money, of course, she wasn't insured. She didn't get, she only got the contributed pension. And I remember the inspectors coming out and he said, she'd have to get rid of half the hens.
You're joking.
That is right now. That would be now. Daddy died in that'd be 32, and she had to get rid of some of the hens. And I remember my uncle going up and bringing down the hens. And the inspector came back to see how she, the hens gone.
And so did he.
Yeah.
That's so, why, that's really, I suppose, your mother.
That was my mother now. Well, you see, my uncle was very good to my mother then, and my granny. And I was there, and you see, we were, the uncle now was, of course, nearly kept my mammy going and the children with a few bob that she got. See, Alice was only 4 months when he died, and she couldn't go to work or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she managed on, she was a good woman to manage and that, and she kept a few couple of pigs, and then the daddy had a few cattle and that over in his own farm and fish and pail and a few sheep. So that's the way she worked. She was able to pay her way on, you know.
And did you go to the local school?
I went to Ballymore School, yeah. I went to Ballymore School and well, I got on well in Ballymore School. Then about I was about 10. Actually 10 or 9 anyway, and when I come from school, there was a river, the living out there, the lake that you see there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We had cattle grazing with Captain Horns, and because it was near the house. And my dad, in any case, I went over to run them across to bring them home. Yeah. But I didn't come that way. I went up then onto Portapuca, up a shortcut. And I used to play with the bucks out of the hotel. We'd have great sport with every evening. We'd be delighted for to play and go on. But I twisted my ankle. And would you believe it, from that, for 2 years after, I was in hospital and out of hospital. I wound up in Kappa. And Surgeon McCauley operated on me. Right there, you see where it's there. And TB set in on it. And, well, it was, he managed it anyway, thanks be to God. Father Ross Murphy, bless me, he said, Fran, now Francis, he said, you will go to hospital, he said, and go to the doctor, well, it won't be a major one, you'll be all right. And that was the truth. My uncle carried me up to him that night, and I walked out with some relic he had, Father Ross Murphy. And what he done was, when my uncle went up to him, my uncle was very great with him. And when he went in, he brought us into this room. Now he says, you sit down there, John, now, he says. And he said to me, now, Mary, you sit there. Now, my uncle sat there, and I went over to a different little corner. And he went away for a long time and came back with this silver thing in his hand.
What was it?
It was a relic.
Yeah, a
relic of... And I don't know what relic it was. We never asked him.
But do you believe that's what cured you? Or that's what stopped the TB from spreading?
They did operate on me in Temple Street and put me in plaster. But what was wrong was, it was the TB had started in the cup of the ankle. Grizzle grew over it. And see, they didn't notice it. Well, Surgeon McCauley did, out in Kappa. I was a year and a half there. Oh, I was going around. Matter of fact, I came out of Temple Street. Now, when I was after having the operation there in plaster and got confirmation.
Oh, what age were you?
I was about 10 then for my confirmation, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of your education was
affected. Yes, that's what I'm saying to you. Like, I wasn't like my sister. She went on. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was walking with the granny and that. I didn't get me education that she got or the rest of them got, you
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. But how and ever, sure, I managed to get through anyway. But then, of course, then that went on and I finished off in Ballymore. And then, as I'm telling you, walked away with the uncle. Then the Portapuca started up in 1948, which was it? 38, and that, and we opened up a little shop.
Yeah, no, before Portapuca opened up, you must have seen the huge change.
I sure there was a terrible change.
Yeah.
I sure, my God almighty, you know. You see, I'll tell you now what it was. You'd have people in at night. they come in to listen to the wireless. We had the wireless that time with the little, don't you know, cat's ears and the little crystal. And the neighbours would come in to me uncle for to hear about the horses. They used to give 3 horses at night. And
there was a programme on that would
yes. I don't know now, I can't go back and who it was giving it. But they gave this about the horses, what won and what didn't, and poor Joe Kelly, Lord have mercy on him. He used to come over and we'd have a few in John Stone and all them and Cody's and all them.
But
and
we had
this little thing that had to be set so well, and there couldn't be a word said. No, wouldn't be a sound. And
were there earphones now with the crystal set, or was it?
Some had it, and more you could hear it in this little crystal set. And then that went on anyway, and we got there was a poor Joe Kelly, our next door neighbour anyway, went down for, he was only going down, they had to measure the water in the down at Pulafuca. And to see what it was at, you know, every day. This is before it started, before the big stuff started. So be that in any case. But didn't he take a heart attack and was found down at the bottom of it? And well, that nearly finished the wireless because they were all never bothered about horses or anything after they got such a fright. So that was it. So then the real wireless came in there.
Yeah. And in those years before the real dam started. Were there people moved away from their houses? Did you know the people that were?
Oh, the people affected? That was from Ballinahound. Yeah. Oh, I knew the Quinns and I knew the Clarks and them. Oh yes, there was a lot of people moved away from them. Now,
was there anybody that didn't move away? Was there anybody that kind of said, I'm staying
well,
here?
Well, no, we weren't in the moving part, because the moving part was more or less out in Ballinahound and up around Ballymount. See, we were too near the lake. Now, one man did move, and that was Jonas Dorn. He moved over nearer to us, because my uncle bought the house after when it went up for sale. There were only 2 old people. Now, they were the only ones. And John Cooley. There was John Cooley moved, and Jonas Dolan. Now, they lived very near the lake, but they was the only 2 that I knew beside us, beside Pulafuca, that had to move, because they were too near the lake, so they'd fall into it.
Were they farming the land there?
Well, they hadn't much land. Now, Jonas Dolan, he was an old age pensioner, and the wife, they were old, and they moved them and gave them this, built this house for them. And John Cooley brought Ned Kelly's house down the Ballymore Road. That's what he done. Now, he was an old man too, because my granny and him walked in pool in Telfaris, now where this pool, you know, the hotel that's over in Telfaris. And they walked there, you see, my granny and John Cooley. And when she was, I suppose, a bit younger, like, her husband died too when he was very young. And she had to work on the hen farm, and he worked on the farm with Captain Horne.
Now, would you, the area that was covered with water there?
That was down right under us.
That was under you?
That was right. All I had to do was go from here, it would be to the start of the other gate where you came in there, at the top of the road
there. Do you remember as a child, as a young girl, running through the fields?
But didn't
there?
I tell you, I crossed it going to put the cows over.
Yes.
And my granny walked that to go to pull it, to go over to Telfaris. She walked that in the month of March, the 7th of July.
Well, you'd know the names of the fields, though, wouldn't you?
Well, no, we at that time we did. Well, we the only ones we knew was the ones under Gilchrist and the ones that was under George Perry.
What did you call? What you call the fields?
Well, that's the way we called them, under Gilchrist and under George Perry's. But our own fields now, we never called them anything. We did our own farm down in Ballymore. We called it the church field and the highlands and all that now, but not around us.
Yeah.
You know, we had no names on them, the top field and the bottom field, but that's all we had.
And in 1937 then, when the place was flooded, was there loads of excitement? Was there lots of Was there a big turnout? Were a lot of people come out to watch the dam opening?
Well, there wasn't. You see, it went. There was a terrible lot of men came from Redwood, I think, was the man that was over them. He was a very tough man that was over them, the poor men. So they came from everywhere.
To work on it.
And they were looking for lodgings everywhere, God help them. And sure, they got them in Ballymore. And it was a bit of a flush that time, you know, of money and everything going on. We started up a little shop that time, I and my uncle. And we used to sell cigarettes and sweets and everything like that. We were all right. We made a good few pounds. And now that shut up now. And that was a pity because it should have been kept on. And we sold coal in it. Now, that was the tram sheds that my uncle bought from belonging to the tram.
He bought, as soon as the tram was finished, he bought the sheds.
Yes, he bought the sheds. And I think I should have. I don't think it was very dear. I think he bought them in. Did he buy them in 1930? I think he bought them.
Mm. And Francis, your early memories of the tram. You went on the tram yourself?
No, I didn't, because I was too young. The tram was finished up, I think, in 1927. Around that now, I think it was. No, I only remember it going by. I was very small and I was just going by, and that's all I remember about it. Now, it's my granny that I went on, what she tell me about it.
Yeah.
Like, what had happened is, you see, when they'd be unloading the stuff, they'd bring over, where the sheds we bought from the tram company, that's where all the carriages went.
Yeah.
Like with all the stuff that was coming off of the
Did your father use the sheds for when he
My uncle.
Them? Or your uncle.
My
Sorry.
Uncle. Well, you see, there was only one big shed.
Yeah.
A big shed. It was the store place. And Joe Kelly was the store man in it. And all the coal and all had come in. And then his son be delivered. There was a lorry then, and he'd deliver whatever coal or whatever's to go to such a place or whatever came in on the tram.
What about the local sand pits? Was there?
Oh no! Well, no, the sand pits with us was no. Did you see? There was no sand pits with us at all. We had no sand pits up there. See, that only got going. Sand pits, I think, was in Blessington. That was the only place sand pits. We had none in Ballymore now. Now they have started up, of course, since that. But regards at that time, there was no sand pits.
The quarries up there then.
Now you're talking about up in Ballinochan and up there.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't know much about the quarries up there. The only thing I can tell you about the quarries, it was Osborne and Brady, and that's who my daddy worked for.
Yeah.
He worked for Osborne and Brady on the farm down at Bishop Lane, and he was a ploughman. And he used to plough and sow and all that, but after that, now I wouldn't know much about them, but after that I can't tell you any more about Ballinochan. No, I'd only know about my own locality around. You see, Hurst Pass Town was passing Ballymore Eustace. Now, I don't know whether they call it, it's a very small little place. There was only my uncle in it, and Kelly's in it, and who else would... I think there was only the two people that lived in Hurst Pass Town, and the sheds was on Hurst Pass Town.
Oh, I see.
That's where it ended. Hurst Pass Town ends there.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of houses in it. Yeah.
Your father, Michael Clark, were you able to trace back the Clarks at all? When did they come in there, do you know?
Well, now I couldn't. There on Fisher Hill now, that'd be over near Ballymore Eustace. I never went back to trace them, wasn't that funny? I never went back to trace them. You see, when my daddy, I was very young, and my daddy got septic pneumonia that time, and his brother came over to mind him, and he took the septic pneumonia, and the other brother took the septic pneumonia. And the day my daddy was going in, my other uncle was buried that morning on the 28th of April.
Mm.
And the other brother only barely scrambled through.
No, that's the Clarks.
That's the
Clarks.
Now,
your grandmother, was she your father?
She was your father's mother? She was my
mother's mother,
yeah.
And she was an O'Brien.
She was Frances O'Brien.
Were you able to trace back the O'Briens?
Going to trace them at all? No, I didn't. I just, although I often heard her saying that she had cousins that went to America. And I know there was one cousin went to America, and she was talking to Mrs. Hornish one day, and she said to her, she says, his name was Paddy, I think, or some that anyway. And she says, oh, you needn't worry about him. She says, he's out, she says, on the lake with so-and-so. And God says, granny, she says, it's well for him. That's all. Now, she was this spiritual thing that used to go on with, out on the lake, she said. His would a cousin of hers out on the lake. God says, granny, he never communicated with us. He was dead at the time, you know. That spiritualism went on there, you know.
Explain that to me now.
Spiritualism?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. They go into this place and a big room, and they're closed off, and they come along anyway and they talk to the dead. But they didn't talk too long, because I know a person got in and shook holy water and they never got an answer after. And they went on to the boathouse, then they followed them up there and shook her there, and they never got.
I know. Who were the people involved?
The Hornches,
yeah.
Captain Hornch.
Yeah. And
You see, like, my cousin, my granny cousin, must have worked sometime with them, and he died over in, he went to America, and Mrs. Horn said, people over in America, and she said that he was out on the boat, he was dead at the time, and he was out with one of her people on the boat in such a place, I don't know. She says, granny said a madness it was.
And she was referring to your...
To a relation of my granny's, yeah.
Of your granny's,
yeah,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And your granny would say that a
well,
few
she,
times.
No, well, of course she believed in it.
Did she not?
No, she didn't. She had a holy water sprinklers everywhere. Yeah. Oh, no, they never got any... They couldn't get it after, because there was people watching them. But that's a terrible thing. God, I wouldn't have that at all.
Yeah. And being brought up by your granny must have been born.
Ah, yeah.
She must have been born, well, around the famine
God,
years.
She was nearly 90 when she died. She died in 1957.
So had she any stories related
well,
to the
famine? Well, you see, I can't go back now to, oh, she had lots of stories. God love her, she was a great storyteller. But she didn't take any heed of her. Like, she'd be telling things, we'd say, actually, she's doting. But she wasn't doting at all.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure. That's what I say. Like, they knew lots. I remember her telling us, that time we used to have to go to the stations, down to the chapel, and you'd give in your station. The morning that had to be called, we'd say, for horse pass town. Well, John Cooley, that would be our neighbour, I'd go down and pay his, and she'd go on to work. But Captain Hornch came out this morning, he said to her, she says, where's Cooley? He's gone, she says, to pay his stations.
Oh.
So, go down to the stations, she said. He's gone to the stations, she says. Gone to the stations, says. Why didn't you send the damn fine, he says, in an envelope? Oh, no, she said. If you was to do that in your religion, we don't.
So she was a strong.
Yeah, see, they were. Yeah, they were the different
person,
religion.
She was referring with the fine.
He said it was a fine, you see. But no, it was the station. You went down, that's what kept the priests and all going, the few bob you give them. And, like, they'd always go down, there'd be mass and that. I don't know if it's carried on now or not. We don't do that things anyway. But, that's what it was, and she often spoke about it. The name of them is not in it now.
Yeah. Uh-oh. But did she ever talk to you about the... Look at all the look at the way she lived through...
She lived through her time. She told me... when she was sitting there, she often told me the time of the troubles. She could go down and mark on the walls where they were shot. They brought men out, took them out from under the bed and shot them against the walls in Ballymore. Now, she was young then, I suppose. And she said, I could mark where every one of them was shot. She often talked about that. She'd often worried her, she said, it was the finest of men shot in Ballymore. I just cruel to what they done, took them out IRAs or whatever the divination they were, but God help her, she spoke about, very much about it. That is very troublesome. But whenever she worked hard herself on account of her husband dying so young and that. But she was a great woman. She knew how to do everything and carry on. And she was a woman got prizes for butter making and cake baking and I don't know what not. She was a terrific woman that way anyway. But,
And did she bring just yourself up? Was there anybody else?
Well, no. She had another son, but he died at 31. He died with septic pneumonia too. We had a school teacher by the name of Mrs. Jordan. And she was a cross sort of person, but however, in any case, this day, I don't know if she got a was in bad humor or not. And she says, I wouldn't have married Art, she says, only he was such a soldier. Oh, I went home a hero. He was such a hero. But I went home to me uncle anyway, and I said, Mrs. Jordan says, her husband Art was a hero. God, he was, he says, laying in under the bed. So you see, he didn't fight at all, seemingly, with them or whatever. Well, but she was telling us, and she went back the next day. My uncle said he was under the bed. Oh God, when I wasn't slaughtered, when I wasn't slaughtered, I never forget it. Oh, my uncle said he wasn't a hero. He lay under the bed. Wasn't it terrible?
Yes, it was. My God,
Oh, sure, she didn't say it. I'll never forget that. I'm a husband now. There's a book. Did you? Of course, I don't know how you heard tell of. His name was Kettle, wasn't it? That wrote that book, was it? Kettle, George
Yeah,
Kettle or something.
not sure enough.
I'm not sure of that, but there's a book now about the Donoghues, about Sandybanks. I got it from Cork and I lost it. I don't. Did he never get it again?
But was there a story about throwing a greyhound over
That's
a.
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Down here in Sandybanks. There were six girls, I think it was, and three boys. Now that was the old Donoghue, the great grandfather of the Donoghues. And it seems in any case he didn't know which of the boys to leave it with. And he said, whichever they might get the greyhound, throw it out over the house at owned there. And it was Martin owned it. Martin got it. And they were all in the RIC policemen, you see. The three Donoghues was in there.
Oh, what was the idea of throwing the greyhound over
Do you
the
know which of them was the strongest to
Oh,
throw
yes.
the dog over the house?
And that's why
And Martin was the only one that made the good attempt to get it over, and he got it, Martin. And there was a Martin in it ever after. Oh, there was a lot about him now.
Well, no, that's the O'Donoghues,
that's the
and that's who you
O'Donoghues,
are.
yeah.
What was your husband's name?
Willie.
Willie, how did you meet Willie?
God, how did I meet Willie? Oh, that's going back a long time now. I met, God, I think, where did I meet him? Did I meet him? Oh, I think I met him in the. We had a horseshoe up in Pulafuca. They had the May, what do you call it? Oh, a Mayfair. We used to be dancing on boards. This man started up this thing with no roof or anything, it was Sunday evening. And then he came along, McCluskey, I think it was his name, and he built this horseshoe, as we call it, this hall. And my God, it done well. Now, this was now, you see, for to get the crowd from Pulafuca with the dancers and all, you see, he was clever, he was a guard. And he started it up anyway, and that's where, I think that's where I met Willie, that's where, yeah, that's where he did. I remember Willie was, Willie had a lorry that time. And of course, the one to say to me, stick to him, he'd bring us everywhere in the lorry. So, in that anyway, I got him with him, or he got him with me, I don't know which now, but I will never, in any case, it went on, it went on, and that's, we got married in 1950.
In 19. Oh, what was Willie doing?
Oh, he had a lorry that time. And you see, there were farming down there too. That's what he was at. But the lorry, he had the lorry going. But he gave up the lorry, see. It got hard then. You see, it was a very hard time for to get the petrol at that time. And sure, went off of the road and went on and only get so much and all that. Although Willie was on the road now, bringing sand and that. Now, he was the man that brought a lot of them from the lakes that time when it was getting flooded. He brought all them people, he put them into their houses. Like, he went out over to Lacken and used to bring all their stuff and all and put
And he in the
yeah,
lorry,
yeah,
he loaded on the lorry.
A V8 he had.
So he was a bit of a courier.
Yeah, a courier in that way, stuff, yeah. And he drew turf. But he got up the lorry now before I met him. And we bought the farm here. That's where we are now. And he was at that. And then Americans, these Americans now, the weren't cousins of his. Now, there is Americans was cousins of his, but they were different. They were separate. They weren't related. And we bought the farm, and he was working away on it and working on his own. And then he had an uncle with the name of American here. And
The surname was American?
American, yeah. And Tom American, and he left the farm, so he had enough of work on his hands without doing the lorry.
Yeah, indeed he had, yeah. But how, when, you didn't marry him and when he had the lorry, did you?
No, I didn't.
It was
no,
long
married,
before
yes,
that.
Yes, the lorry was gone. After he came up the lorry, then bought the farm. Yeah, the farm up here.
But he had that lorry during the war years.
Oh,
then.
God, yes, sir, he got it. I'll tell you now, he was very lucky. He was in with Mr. White, the bank manager. And he used to draw turf for him. And he drew turf for a lot of people off of the bogs that time. And they were very good to him regards of the coupon. You had to have coupons and that. And he survived anyway, so we bought the farm over, and that was enough.
Did he tell you the turf he was drawing? Was it from
it
Sally
was from
Gap
Kip Yore.
Yeah.
From Kip Yore, and he drew it off of, I can't think of where he drew it off of for the mountain people. I know there was a snap where it was the first lorry that ever crossed this bridge for turf.
It was over in Black Hill.
Where?
Black Hill.
Black Hill. Now, I think it was, I don't know where that photograph went. It was the first lorry that crossed over this bridge and he went over into the turf proper for the people.
What, no, did he work for himself?
Oh,
the
for
turf?
Himself. Yeah. He ordered his own lorry.
So
yeah.
he rented the piece of bog?
No,
he?
No. People have come to him for to bring a load of turf.
Oh, I see.
They'd have it out all dried out and loaded and he'd bring it and leave it in the house for them.
And you referred to them, were they always known as, or did you? Would you always refer to those people as the mountain people?
The mountain people, yeah. Always the mountain people. The mountain people are better off than the low-lying people. They knew how to mind their money. That was one thing, sir. No, they were very cute people. But they were, in their own way, they were generous people. Like, you wouldn't go into, when you go into their house, you wouldn't come out without tea or something. You know, that sort of way. They were very kind-hearted people. It broke up a terrible lot of homes up in around Valley Mountain up there. Did now.
The lake
I don't know, it done a lot of damage. I did not.
Why, was it a better community before? Was there
yes,
a good
there was
strong
more neighbours. They brought a lot of strangers in.
Yeah.
A lot of strangers, new houses went up and everything, you know, that sort of a way. And it wasn't the same, ours wasn't the same locality anyway, you know.
Yeah.
There were strangers come in, they built houses and I don't know. I think when you do away with your own neighbourhood that you know so well, I don't think it goes down at all. No, no. It's the same everywhere. Like when you I'd rather have the way it was. There was more. There was houses here and houses there, and
you knew everybody. You know the local people there.
The local people.
Yeah.
We knew them. Yeah. But then you see, they kind of died out, and those others was left.
Now, who were the people that were rooted there for a long? Who were your neighbours that
neighbors
that would have been there for years?
Ah, yeah. Sure, the Kellys was there for years, and the Dolans and the Coolies and the Healy's, and oh, sure, God bless us and save us. and the Kellys, and then a shop started, another shop started, Connors, they came into it. And we knew that the box was in Polar Foca for ages, they were great. And then, well, as I often said, the ticket officer, how many times did that change? That was that's after being sold 100 times. But after that, now, then the neighbours, there was only a few of us, but there were neighbours. You could go in, if you got short of anything, you could go in, if it was sugar or tea or something like that, if your own short, you went to your neighbour. Well, where would you go now? There's no neighbours now. No neighbours not there now. Look at the little house. My daughter, my uncle left the house to my daughter, and she sold it. And there's a stranger there. You go down to the other house, and there's a stranger there. Then Toker came along, and he's after buying it. And the Kellys that was there their lifetime, that house has gone down. No house there. Kellys has gone.
The whole thing has changed.
Yeah, Miley's was there, and Cooley's, no one there.
So if you went back there today,
there's no, I couldn't say I could go into anyone up there because they're all strangers to me.
Yeah.
I've no one up there now.
Yeah, all the old folks.
Well, I would. I'd have my brother's wife up there. But after that, who would I have?
Yeah.
All strangers, they would know. I never lived around there. Oh, strange.
Tell me, Francis, when you were there and when you were, I suppose, enjoying life up there.
We had a good time.
What were the customs? What would you do on a, we're in Easter now. Do you remember how you would celebrate Easter?
Well, you see, first of all, it was all religion. We'd have to obey the orders of religion. At that time it was sodality and, oh God, we were going to devotions October, and we had to go to devotions in October and all this. Well, we do that, but then we went to dances. We went to dances in Blessington, we went to dances in Dunlavin. I tell you, we went everywhere dancing. And we went on crossbars, and we anything we could get for God, we went. You know, it was, we loved dancing.
Yeah.
And then eventually I got a bike and I was away with it.
But in the long evenings then, in the summer evenings, was it all, you spoke about platform dancing.
Oh yeah, that was the, well, that'd be only on of a Sunday. But in our own way, like meet and talk and that time, I don't know, it was far different to come in and we'd sit down and get into, we'd be in the bedroom and we'd all sit around and talk, and it was a far different to what they are now. And we'd be saying, like, changing dresses and swapping dresses and shoes and the different knows what, not making them, and I don't know what went on. Then when they come, we used to have the breed dog. The 1st of February, we'd all dress up and hike out then around the place, out to houses and all, and dance and swing half the night. You see, we had our own sport.
And how would you dress up? What kind of...
Wizards on it and other big old black things on it and different clothes, so they wouldn't know you. And we rolling around the house and whip them out.
What would you do when you reached the door? Would you sing or would you?
Yes, play you instrument? Oh, we had an accordion. We had Joe Lee for the accordion. Oh God, it used to be a pantomime.
Yeah.
But
and did you have any rhymes or anything about St. Bridget? You know,
No. We never had. No, there was all out songs, and one was a singer, and then maybe. A fight to take place. Oh God, there used to be more arguments. I wouldn't go in there, and I wouldn't go here, and wouldn't that, but all me and good.
There were some houses they wouldn't go in.
No, some of them wouldn't go in. The more would go in, the others would be laying outside till we come out and ash.
Why wouldn't they go in now?
Ash, I suppose they had some, they wouldn't know. You know, Asher God was. We had the best of sport, and we were at dances and. At that time, then, there was great card playing, too. That would go on. We'd be card playing, and there was a lot of things that we used to go get our fortune told. There was an old man with the name of Igo, and he was up in He was on the Blessington Bridge. God, we used to ride the bike to him anyway and get our parts installed. We go where to be a bit of sport.
Yeah, and where did he come from now, did
now
you
he
say?
Came from, he came from Ballymore, Igo was his name.
Igo.
Yeah.
And that's what you knew him as?
Yes.
But what was his real name, any idea?
Igo was his name.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And he came
from Ballymore, his name what, down on the bridge.
Yeah.
And we go up and we get our parts and all there. And oh, God, telling us later, oh, I told him. And we believe in him, you know, when we got a bit... Oh, we knew it was lazy, he was telling us.
Yeah.
That was another thing we done, like telling fortunes and the dancing and all this to go on.
And would they, in St. John's Eve, were there bonfires on the mountains?
No, we wouldn't. No, no, we never done destruction now. Oh, God, no. No, no, unless now someone won something in Ballymore, we'd light up big bonfires then. You know, if they won a match or that. That'd be the bonfires and that, but otherwise, oh no, no, we were never destructive now, to be honest with you.
And you would, how would you celebrate the St. John's Eve, or do you remember?
St. John now, St. Bridget's, we...
The Midsummer. Yeah,
well, you see, we were out, I don't know, we go to dances, the only thing I knew, there was dances, there was dances everywhere, Dunlavin and Calverstown and Nice. We went to all them places, Hollywood. God, there was a great dance hall in Hollywood. We smashed it up, and then Sherlockin was better than any. Oh, good God, they kicked up a little legs here. You come out bruised, woman, out of Lockin. But whatever.
Listen, and who were the musicians? Do you remember?
There was a lot of people playing out accordion. We didn't know to the differ.
Yeah, but they were local lads.
Asher, Jimmy Finnell was over, and the Bensons was great, and Jolie. Oh God, I forget the half of them. Oh God, I can't go back. I tell you their names now, I suppose. The Keenan's band was a great band. Kevin Keenan now, they had a great band. They were a great Cayley band. It's more or less Cayley now we were at too, you know. And
the Jigs and Reels.
The Jigs and Reels are what? Just to be a fan of mine. And the old time was. I don't know. I and Pat Kelly got a prize for an old time was.
Yeah.
And if we did, yeah.
And when it came then to...
And Kilbride, we were in Kilbride. Kilbride now was another place, it was every Sunday night.
Yeah. And when it came to the autumn time then, it was the unsewing, the Halloween, was that celebrated?
Halloween now, yes, we dressed up for that. That was good, yeah. Halloween was another going around, frightening everyone, sheets on us and everything. God, what a difference of that. And you know, people they'd be going home from somewhere and they see these white sheets and hear them the next morning talking about it. Oh, stop it now. Oh, it was cruel. You know, that sort of a way. But, and you know, we'd have to pass the graveyard and we were different at laying in a black gate and putting an old thing over you like that. You know, God, the next morning there was a ghost seen above him. at the gate. But I'll tell you though, I got a fright. My granny's uncle had was cows down the road to Ballymore Eustace, and he was to bring her up milk or something. Something was wrong with the milk, or whatever was wrong anyway, but he was bringing up milk. So she sent me off anyway. And I don't know what the hell it was, but she gave me this jug. To get this jug of milk, whether it was special milk or what, I can't tell you now. But however, in any case, there was a new man after coming to a farm down the Ballymore Road. Now, that as you go to Ballymore, used to be the name of Sampy, was his name. But then he bring a whole lot of big whitehead cattle. And my dad, anyway, was getting very dirty, but was not coming home anyway. And this big bullet of a face, of a white face, put out over the wall. Oh my God, I let the jug and the whole lot in away with me. I'll never forget it. You see, it was kind of going dark. And this, we never, We had no high-head cattle at that time. They were all blacks or reds. White-faced cattle wasn't got then. Well, mother got. And she says, where's the chug? Oh, God, I don't hear it. It must be on the road. So the road was in bits. I run anyway. And, that was that. She never got the milk.
And what were the...
Now, he was a big... Yeah. Now, I tell you who went into his place after, Justin Keaton.
Oh, Justin Keaton.
Justin Keaton, but a matter of fact, I think Justin Keaton is in still.
Yeah. No, you were talking there about the supernatural. Did you believe in the fairies or did would your grandmother have
would fairies?
She, yeah, would she have been a little bit worried about them? And
well, no, she wouldn't care for that sort of a thing. Fairies? Oh, sure, I don't know. There was two men one day. I had a white, don't you know, the polo neck jumpers, and they were walking up for Polo Fuca. Ned Deegan, and was it the two Deegans, but Ned was on it anyway. So he came down to Granny, like, you know, they were up working and came down to the Granny to get them a sup of tea where they were at their dinner time. She knew them. But seemingly they went over and they hung their coat on the back of the door. You see, that time you hang your coat on the back of the door. Well, I must have had this polo neck hanging on the door. It had anyway, wait, they went back up and everything was, but there was no one three. And of course, they were frightened of their life to cut it, but the poor man said it had to be cut, this tree. Well, be God, in any case, the next thing, in any case, the tree was cut now. But when Ned went to pick up his coat, what was in the coat when he this way? Paul. I said, the man nearly died. I don't know, he said. Not thinking that I owned it, but didn't you think that staff were coming there? And God, it wasn't the better for a long time. You got a fierce fright. You're never to cut a lone tree, you know that.
And it's because he cut the lone
tree.
Yeah,
he thought, you see, this came, this thing, this white polo.
Yeah.
That was to show him that he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But there is people like that.
Yeah, and did people generally, in you know, the beliefs and in the living up there now, did they have? Do you know the way you've holy wells and people respect?
That's right.
That?
Oh well, yeah, you respect. Yes, well, yeah. They're out in Lacken now. We hadn't a holy well up our way. Well, we had in Borgage, down a little bit in Borgage. Now we had a
what
well.
About a tree? Was there? Was
oh
there?
No, a tree. Oh no, my granny wouldn't let a tree. Now we had a tree on the land, and she wouldn't let it be cut. Oh no, not my uncle. Now that must be there to the present day. I don't know. She wouldn't cut.
She wouldn't cut
oh,
a tree
no,
down.
Oh no, 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 no,
was
no.
It a particular kind of tree?
A tree that's out on its own.
Yeah.
You see, you go now and you see a whole lot of trees up that way and trees this way. But a tree that grows out on its own, no, she wouldn't cut that.
It doesn't matter what,
no, no,
what
no,
kind
no,
of tree
no,
it is.
No, 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 she wouldn't, oh no. Like, there were, in ways there were soups, like, you couldn't throw out ashes, old souls. Like, no water would go out. That'd be put into a big churn or something, kept in that, the start at 12 o'clock till the 12 o'clock the next night. And that, no water, no ashes around him be brought out. No, it wouldn't be thrown out your throat, no ashes around him.
Yeah.
Yeah, order's very well kept. And St. Bridget's now should hang out a half a sheet. And that was blessed by St. Bridget. There was a cure in that.
A cure for what now?
Well, I suppose she used to, you had a headache, she'd cut a little bit off and tie it around your head and that sort of a thing, you see. It seemed that you would fall on it. It was good for headaches and I don't know what pains it was good for. But
yeah.
She had that cure. Then there was a woman used to come from Ballymore to her, and when the nettles had come in, and She had a square, this square, and the nettles, she had this thing over it. And it wasn't plastic. It was like a curtain. And the nettles would start to come up now, around this time or that. And she'd pluck them and she'd boil them. And she'd strain it. And this woman used to come to her and she used to get the water from her. I never knew what that was for. I never asked her anyway.
Did she use nettles and?
Only nettles. Strain the water, yeah.
And the iron
She'd boil them.
Yeah.
Within the water, and she'd squeeze them, and then put them through the sieve. Straining.
But what about thistles? Was there any
only the nettles.
Yeah.
See, they say if you eat three meals of nettles in the spring, that purifies your blood.
Mm.
Yeah.
And were a lot of local like the berries and the trees and that, were they used picking the mushrooms from the fields?
Don't talk about mushrooms. I never eat them anyway. Went up and picked the mushrooms, the fairy mushrooms from the wasn't killed, weren't we? Cut the doctors with me for 3 weeks. We went up and we came down. And didn't we put them on the range, put salt on them, and of course the real hot range, and we ate them, the Kellys and the Coleys and us, there was five of us. Well, we were panned out for 3 weeks.
How do you mean panned
out? Oh, were we sick? Were we dead? Poor Dr. Purcell and him, I'll never forget it. He said, when he got it a bit well, he said that they're lucky at children. God, we heard children being poisoned afterwards.
Yeah.
The fairy mushrooms, we ate them. Yeah. Out up to a ploughed field and ate the mushrooms. Now, we hadn't a bit of sense in the world. God, we nearly died, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, no one knows. They're talking about the ones now that, them ones that do pick or what goes mad with, which we were nearly as bad. To go up and pick, see, we never let on to them what we done. And we come down, we put salt on them. Now, we must have seen them doing that. And we put them, lining them all along. And we, oh, God, I never forget that. I never had mushroom after. Oh!
And when it came to Christmas then?
Christmas was great then. Christmas was great. Turkeys and everything had to be plucked and chickens and everything. Oh, that was a great old time, man. Lord, plucking was the best part. Which if you used to be half drunk again, they were finished. You get a couple of Joe MacDonald was the great plucker. And there was a Callan or something in Ballymore. Lord, there were two great pluckers. But sure, they'd be drinking beer. Oh, God bless us. Have another one, Joe. Have another
one. did your granny bring the eggs, or did you bring the eggs into town?
No, I didn't do that. It was my granny done all that. I wouldn't. I didn't sell eggs or anything. Yeah. She did. Oh, they used to call to the door to her for the eggs.
Mm.
Oh, she had eggs and everything. Oh, she was a great woman that way. And chickens. She'd rear chickens there and have your pair of chickens. Fan used to call her. Fan was her name. Francis was her name, but they called her Fan. And she'd have chickens. She was a great person that way, do you know? But I knew she trained me how to do everything. Now she did. Fair play to her.
Well, we're gone the whole year round, but finally, can I ask you, rhymes, recitations, or poems? Did you learn any local ones?
I didn't anyway.
Did you know any? No, there was no such.
What,
the rhyme there that you just mentioned.
Well, no, I can't think of that now. What was it? I know it was something about Curtis and Sandy Bradley. She was going with someone, wasn't that it? And if she got on this white horse, what'd she do? But cleanly, in any case, whatever went wrong, he kept shouting at her, "Curtly, Curtly, Sandy Bradley, I'll never see you again."
And that must be very old. That came from your grandmother.
Now, I must ask someone about that. Rose would be terrific at that now. Don't you know, Paul? Rose, she's a great woman now. She's in Ballymore. And Rose now goes through those people, like you now, talking and that. She's all these bits of things, you know. She might know more about it than I would. She's a great person, like, in telling stories and...
Yeah,
a real acrobat, like, as I'd say. She's a great woman at that now.
But, you know, go back to the Christmas time again. You told me about this man that used to come out and collect the turkeys and bring them into the market.
Oh, yeah, Phil Deegan. Bill Deegan was a man from Dunard, and if you wanted, you see, when you plucked the truckers, you had to get into the market now. And Cartons was the salesman in Dublin at that time, Carton Brothers. And Phillips pull up and you throw up your bag of turkeys and Phillips go on. But the horse was that used to the road that Phil lay down and slept in that the whole way to Dublin. And it had in any case he'd come back and whatever few pound or whatever it be, his hands used that he was after getting for the turkeys. But he was coming up with the dam. This is what he told us. He was coming up with the dam this night going on to Dublin for the market. Now he come up, you know, when it'd be fairly late. I suppose it'd be about 9 or 10 o'clock. He'd be going on for the market to start in the morning. He said he took up this woman, stopped him, and he took her up. And no matter what he done, the horse wasn't able to pull the cart or him or this woman. So, but that anyway, God, he said, and he says, I think that you may get down. He says, something after happening. Well, now she says, I'll get down. But while you're on this road, she says, let it be long or short, she says, never take up anyone again. And he never seen the woman who just know where he disappeared to. And then neither did he. He never gave anyone a lift up.
And the woman just disappeared.
Disappeared. Now, that was down where the dam is now. That happened where the dam is.
And who was the man that you...
Phil Deegan. Phil Deegan. I'm sure everyone... And matter of fact, Aidan, I'll tell you now about... You should know. There was a Flanagan going with Tom Clark at that time. And Phil was coming... I think, he was going, and now he was either going or coming back, Phil was, from Dublin, or going, I think he was going to Dublin. And God bless the motorbike, the dark chap was on the motorbike. He was killed, didn't the shaft of the car go through him? Would Phil Deegan. I don't think he stayed on the road very long after.
And did you tell me that Phil Deegan, he worked... Very hard.
Phil had his own horse and cart. And as he used to bring the turkeys for the people to Cartons in Dublin at Christmas, to say, he must have had a couple of horses. He couldn't but about the same one. But however, in any case, he went twice or three times a week to Cartons, coming up to Christmas. And he went after Christmas too. He'd go for stuff he wanted if people wanted a load of stuff or something like that, he'd win for it. But it was down here at Sandybanks, the shaft of the car, the poor chap run into him. And I think that was nearly the finishing of poor old Phil Deegan.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when he took that long trip into Dublin, you were saying that he hardly slept at all, you know, that he worked around the clock.
Is it? No, but you see, the horse, you must remember that the horse was that used to going to the one place. The horse knew where to go, and he knew when to stop and when to go. Surprising now. I'd say now there's a terrible lot of people in Dunard to tell you that story. It was a long time on the road.
While he was asleep, the horse was dragging the turkeys into Dublin.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But your Frank Driver in Ballymore, you'd meet him.
Yeah.
And he was learning Irish. We used to go to school, we'd meet. And Frank maybe he'd have the winkers and all the dragging along the road, no horse or car. The old horse got that used to him, you see, going along, the old horse got that, he could check off the winkers, and the old horse stopped, and of course Frank was so interested in this Irish, he was learning it. I never knew what he had the horse, see, he had the reins in here, and of course there was the winkers, and where's the horse, Frank? Oh, good God, I'm going to tell you, he won't get it off the next time, he got it off more times than anything else. Frank Driver in Ballymore.
Go away. Yes.
Hello. Ah, God, he was a character.
Is that how he'd greet you? Hello.
Hello. But you didn't know your name, you see. You had to wait to think. Hello. God help me. When I think of poor Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
But, Tammy Francis, you know, before I let you go, the... was there any
tea?
No, I'm fine actually. This is lovely tea. Were you did you know Irish yourself, or was there any Irish spoken in the house? Did your granny speak?
Not
Irish?
At all. Did she didn't know who she was? No, she only knew prayers, the rosary. Oh God, that used to be good. The rosary. She never started. She got a crowd in. And they'd be all kneeling and one kicking the other out the door. yeah, but they were religious now. You have to give it to them. Mm-hmm. I'll have to give it to her. She'd done the 9 Fridays that she'd always have a priest and she'd die. And that did happen. She looked up and took the candle. He was gone away, Father Dolan in Ballymore. And he said to me, Uncle, he said, I don't think Granny, he said, I'll see the weekend. Oh, my God, he came back, that was August weekend, and he went away Friday, and he came back Monday. And he came in, he says, I believe the granny says it, and my uncle said to him, she's waiting for you to come back. And he walked in, he walked over to her, and he done that to her. Well, how are you, granny? She looked up, like that. And he walked over, and he took up the blessed candle he handed her, and she stayed up.
Did she know?
She did. She waited for him to come back. And well, she done that.
Well, Francis O'Donoghue, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, I have a lot of forgotten now. Ah,
but no. But you have a lot you haven't told me.
No, I haven't a memory.
I'll come back someday for more stories.
No, I haven't a memory. Now, if I had someone at a seen them and often heard me talking, you know, now maybe they could come bring me back on some of it. I have a lot. But we were very foolish with poor Tom that we hadn't a accordion.
Yeah.
What we would have heard.
Yeah, well, maybe I could bring one of your neighbours up someday. We'll have a session here. We'll tell stories to
Now, Marty would think of a lot of it because he was Wood Martin. Do you get what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
You know, and Patsy and them. They will go back on things with Tom and, you know.
That'd be an idea, right?
You see, I have an old man with me, but rearing them now.
But for now, good luck.
Bye-bye. Yeah.